CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. We are here live and at the start of what the Romans called the 8th month. Didn't it always bother you that October's oct is 8 and it's the 10th month?
Mm-hmm. I've never thought of it until this point.
Do you want to know why?
I actually had to count on my fingers. Why?
Well, because it all makes sense from here, because October, oct is 8, mm-hmm. November, nine. And December, decimus 10, right? Decimal.
Yes, decade.
Dec, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense that October, November, December would be the 8th, 9th, and 10th month, not the 10th, 11th, and 12th month. Because the Romans went and inserted January and February.
Just to screw things up a bit.
Because they considered winter one long month.
As so, we all should.
So yeah, I mean, it's just one long, horrible month, and they never even demarcated it in the old republic. And then a guy called Numa Pompilius.
Pompilius?
Numa Pompilius, who was the king, came along and he said, no, this doesn't make any sense. All the other months seem to work on the moon. We should do the same for the first 2 months, and let's just insert them before Martius. March, the month of Mars. So all of them come from Romans. So January is for Janus, which is the beginning and the end. Janus was a god whose head faced both ways. He had a face on the back and a face on the front.
You know, like Alpha and Omega?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
So there was Janus, then there was February, which I cannot remember the origin of.
You got to remember February. We were born in February.
I read this just the other day, damn it. Now I can't remember. Martius is the month of Mars. April's Apriles, which was the spring in Europe. May.
Still is.
Yeah.
Oh, May. Was. Okay, whatever.
Thanks for pointing that out.
I mean, gold star for
May,
you.
May was Maya, which was some sort of celebration. June was eventually named for the Junii and for Juno, the goddess, the wife of Jupiter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then July was named for Julius Caesar eventually. But it was called something else before that, Quintilius.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And then August was named for Augustus. But before that, that was called
Septimius?
Septimius.
Yeah. I guess that, Gareth, you don't take my word
for
it.
No, sorry. No, because September is Septimius. So Sextius. Uh-huh. One of those two. That sex means six, obviously.
Ah, okay. Good.
Does this sound familiar, right? Februus, in ancient Roman religion, Februus, whose name means purify, was a god of purification.
Okay, well, that's probably right.
I don't
remember everything. I'm pulling this stuff. I'm pulling this stuff out of things I read just the other day. But then,
this show every day, I need to enter a game show. There are so many facts you give us on the daily. I feel like they go to waste.
Well, they do go to waste because I'm not winning money on game
shows.
That's
it. Yeah. We need who wants to be a millionaire or something.
The calendar, calends, comes from Rome, and all the months are named for Roman things. And then the weekdays are named mostly for Norse gods. So whether you're Norse or not, Monday, I cannot remember what Monday's for. Tuesday was for Tyr, it was for Thor's sister. I cannot remember her name either. Wednesday was for Woden or Odin. Wednesday. Thursday was for Thor.
Yes.
Friday was for Freya.
Uh-huh.
Saturday, I cannot remember.
Day of Saturn.
Saturn, that's right. Those all come from the Romans. And then Sunday?
Day of the Sun. Solus.
So, wow. Okay. Mostly the Norse gods. So it's amazing how all this stuff over thousands of years has stayed in our lives.
This is actually fascinating.
And we don't think about it. It's like, oh,
it's a Monday.
Oh, it's a Monday. Well, what does it mean?
I don't know.
Do you feel like we've diluted it when we hashtag Sunday Fun Day?
Yeah. I think it's so cool to know this stuff, though, even though it means it's not useful. You'll probably be asked this in some quiz one day if you ever take part in one, but otherwise it's just total nonsense. It just fills up your day with interesting things.
Good to know, though.
Every week, whether you like it or not, you're saying the name of the king of the gods of the Norse mythology. Odin, Woden, Wednesday. Every week.
Well, happy October, then.
Yeah.
With all of that said and done.
8th month, but it should be the 10th. Yeah.
I feel like this is the moment where you do like a live read for Blind History.
Well, you know what? I'm going to.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see your programming mind, you.
She's so good at this.
And it does fit in very well.
Salah Din was the greatest Muslim warrior in the Middle Ages, a man who recaptured Jerusalem from the Christians. He was also full of contradiction. He was honorable, yet cruel. He was a warrior, yet also a peacemaker. You can find out about this mysterious and powerful character in our latest episode of Blind History, which is proudly brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. That's right. So we've done Saladin, we've got Queen Victoria coming up, we've got Pixley Kaisakaseme, we've got Napoleon, we've got Abraham Lincoln, we've got the Krays, which were this I didn't know much about them, this pair of twins who ruled London.
The Krays.
The Krays. K-R-A-Y-S. You've got to hear this one. It's a great episode. So many interesting people. And then we've still got a couple more episodes in this season still to come after
that. Okay, it's not a spoiler alert, but the Kray twins were criminals.
Yes.
London.
Yeah.
If they killed people, this just makes... Yes, they were involved in murder.
So many.
Oh, so juicy. Okay.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
So,
you haven't listened to Blind History, brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters, you are missing out. You need to go on to Apple Podcasts and subscribe today. It's the easiest thing to do. I've done it. You can do it. If you have the app on your phone, or if you're on Google, if you're on an Android phone, go to Google Podcasts, and all you do is find it, and you press subscribe, and there it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just downloading an episode right now as we speak. How's that? You see that?
Oh.
It's that easy. It took me two clicks of two buttons, and I'm in. It's all you need to know. So,
very cool.
Pumelele, I feel like we haven't caught up for a while. What's going on in
That's the first thing she said as well when she walked in. She's like, guys, I feel like I haven't seen you in a while.
I know, but it's ridiculous. Only because we missed last week.
One Tuesday, suddenly it's like...
Pumi said something that was quite scary because we don't have another holiday until December.
Scary or depressing as well. Of all things you could have brought up in this bright and beautiful world.
No.
Yeah, but it's only 2 months.
But what you actually need to realize is that on the today, 1st of October, right? You have, if your summer body isn't ready yet.
It's finished. Right?
Yeah.
No. It's not finished. You mustn't give up. Don't give up.
How much time do we still have?
You at least have 8 weeks of hard slog.
You're giving
pushing.
Fat people hope.
Yeah.
False
eight
hope.
8 weeks. 8 weeks. And if you're doing, it's not false hope. If you're doing the right stuff, if you're not on a crash diet or any of those silly things, right? You can lose like a kilogram and a half a week. That's 8 bloody kilograms. Come on, guys.
Well, how is that possible? By just eating blocks of ice and blocks of cheese?
No.
Cheese is fattening. Never mind. Just blocks of ice.
No.
And licking carrots.
A balanced diet that includes lots of cauliflower.
I'm only eating... I'm not eating any meat this week.
Hmm.
I'm going to try it out.
Oh, what spurred that decision?
No particular reason, but I'm not... I'm just going to stay away from meat this week. See how I feel.
All meat.
All meat. So I'm going to see how I feel at the end of it and make a decision accordingly. Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but my sister gave up smoking last week.
Oh.
She decided she's not doing that anymore.
Wait, that's big for her.
Yeah, it is. She realized that she had been smoking for longer than she had not been smoking in her life.
Sure.
Sure.
And she realized like that was the point where she had to make a decision.
Yes.
Oh.
And she decided, I'm not doing this anymore, which I think is quite cool.
Does she still have both lungs?
Yeah, they're still working fine, but you know, if you stop smoking, you actually get back your lung capacity and everything else quite quickly.
They regenerate.
Yeah, your lungs are like, thank you, Jesus, and they start growing back.
They start growing back.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you can do it, y'all.
Well, no pressure, but TikTok, though.
Yeah.
You know, those 8 weeks are really tough, but those 8 weeks are when you go to dinner parties and everyone is having some... juicy, succulent, something or the other.
I know.
Some amazing dessert.
You know, because Monday is the day. It's the day to start a new thing, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you're stopping whatever, Monday, just after the weekend, whatever.
And there's so many people now, they're like, yeah, Monday was the end of a month, starting again, new month. Okay, sure.
But people do that. You see, again, this is why we like the months, because it gives us a chance to start fresh every time we get to hit that thing.
It's the first.
All right, so Pumi, let's get an update. What's happening in the world of Pumi Mashego?
You guys.
Yo.
In the world of Pumi Mashego, such a lot of pressure, considering that you have to compete with the South Africa that's every day lit.
So much.
Tell us about it.
So much.
Look, at least you're still alive. You have
one of them.
You're still getting along with your son.
Yeah, you two get along.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah,
you two do quite well to get along.
The two of us. if we stop talking to each other, it's going to be very quiet in that house, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, true. You aren't exactly as spoiled for choice as my siblings and my parents were, because we would go stretches of time not talking to each other. Oh, yeah, in the same house. Yeah. We once went, the longest I've gone without speaking to one of my sisters was a full month while we were living under the same roof. And the way in which we stopped all of that was our helper ended up holding both of us and pulling us into the same corner, and she stomped on both of our feet so that we could actually scream out loud and say something verbally. And then, because we'd be angry at our helper, so then we both screamed at our helper, and that's how we ended up talking again.
Wow.
Well, Google the definition of dysfunction. Our family is.
I was thinking about this dysfunctional family thing. That mm-hmm. it's actually, when you have more than one child, you increase the chances of like that dysfunction. You see, like, I have one child, so kind of, I was not going to have like any sibling rivalry with anyone. You know what I'm saying?
Good point.
When you have two or three, and then...
But doesn't it also...
Five kids.
Doesn't it dilute the whole thing, too, in some ways? I mean, I've heard parents say, well, thank God we've got more than one, because... They can manage each other, and there's like a little bit of stuff that happens that wouldn't happen with an only child. Like, for example, what Sia was saying about when you get into situations...
Yeah, screwed up.
Dude. Conflict resolution becomes a big part of your life if you're a kid who has brothers and sisters.
Because I saw there was a thread a couple of weeks ago on Twitter about, like... stuff with siblings, and I was horrified. I was just like, shoo, the lives people are living out there with their siblings.
Are you done, Pumi?
Done, like, what?
One child, that's it. You should see the way she's looking at me right now. If looks could kill. I take that as a yes.
I'm too old to start again.
You never know. I don't know.
You never know. Janet Jackson was minding her own business at 50. She popped one out.
That one came with a large paycheck.
Yeah, true.
Never. Too old to start again. Hmm. Children are exhausting.
Yeah.
And they ruin your figure.
That summer body you're gunning for. That summer body you're gunning for is way and long gone. Listen, at this point.
Also, Kanekho's too old to have a sibling now.
How old is he now?
He turns 12 in 2 months. In 2 weeks.
There'll be such a gap. It'll almost be like a generation.
Mm. Must be like his son or something.
He's too old. So it's all these things are time based.
Yeah, man, he plays on his own. I've seen him here when you bring him.
He keeps himself busy.
Perfect.
Listen, I've got two nephews. They very seldom play with each other. The one does one thing and the other one does another. So that's how people are. Did you have brothers and sisters?
I do. Two younger siblings.
And?
Growing up, I think my brother and I think there's a 6 or 7 year gap between us. And we didn't get along. We fought a lot as siblings. It's only now that we're grown that we're so close, which is good.
Right.
Mm.
Do they live nearby?
They're in Durban.
Oh, so you don't see them that often?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't see
And the youngest one, how much younger?
She is... There's a 6 or 7 year gap there too. She's 13, I think.
Wow, so you are quite a lot older than her.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Becomes a bit awkward. Don't know what to talk to her about.
Well, no, it's a...
I get you now, Pumi. Yeah. The big gap. You just... It's like, what do you say to this thing? You know?
To this thing?
This thing.
That's your sibling.
And I'm the oldest of three kids, and I know how annoying, like, a baby brother or baby sister can be.
What are you saying right now?
You don't know about yourself,
Do you see what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
Case in point.
Little brat.
I don't think so. And I do also respect how relationships move and evolve over time. You know, the dynamic that I'm sure everyone had with their siblings growing up, as opposed to when you were teenagers, because now you need each other when you're sneaking out of the house and you have secrets to keep away from the parents, is different to now how you are in your 20s or 30s when, you know, you lean on each other for support, and that's also the time, and, you know, when you go into your 40s and you maybe lose your parents and you have to stick closer to each other even more. You know, I actually value that. I really, as much as I may complain about my siblings, I can't imagine my life without them, because it's like, well, who would actually be able to relate to me?
One can relate to you even now. I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, please, Sia.
You know, I thought I was having a deep moment there.
I can see it in your face. No. You're like, even the waving of the hands.
No. And then you just lost it there.
You're in your feels about this.
It is true. We still do fight.
But there are people out there with up to 10 siblings. I have a friend who's the youngest of 10.
The youngest of 10.
Same mother, same father.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, my God. Goodness.
They are working. Also Catholic.
So they don't believe in...
Imagine having 10 siblings. I mean, listen, this is not that that bizarre in human history. I mean, most people used to have a lot of kids because most of them wouldn't make it to adulthood.
Sure.
Really? So they just created. You had to make a bunch and then...
Hope that three make it.
Listen, up to halfway through the end of the last century... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's probably around the 1920s, 30s. Child mortality rates were sky high.
Also, children used to be useful back then. You know,
you could make them work.
Yeah, my grandparents had nine.
And they were
nine.
They used to work.
Yeah, they used to work. From like 5 years old, they would carry the water. And
the stories my father tells me, 5 years old, carry the water, cut the logs and stuff like that. And it's like, how did you survive that, dude?
No, they didn't just survive. They became like... strong adults because they weren't mollycoddled. No, the fact is, like, for parents today, and Pumi can advise us on this, for parents today it's really hard because you have to find things that you can challenge your children with, but they also have to be safe and all of those things.
So,
and finding that middle ground, letting them develop, because unless you have something to fight with, unless you have something to reckon with, you have some kind of challenge in your life.
Resistance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you have that, you don't grow.
Oh.
So it's useless to put your child in cotton wool. But at the same time, other parents will be so disapproving if you make it too difficult for your kid. Mm. They're going to go like, oh, you're a cruel parent. And, you know, you get these helicopter parents who, they don't leave their kids alone.
They keep hovering. Is that the...
That's exactly it. They hover over their kids, and their kids can never really develop their personalities, and they keep their kids so close that the kids are useless without them.
You don't do that to your son for me, do you?
No way.
Have you met my child?
Her child does its own thing.
Ah.
I can't imagine in this day and age having 6, 7 kids, just even in terms of how you afford it.
But that's the problem, right? Is because before, it wasn't about how much the kids cost you, because you could live off the land or you could find a way. And most parents, even if they were struggling, they were able to support a fairly large family, because also the kids would go out and like plant vegetables and like, you know, they'd pick the mealies and that kind of thing. Now you can't do that. You can't make your kids work. Plus you have to send your kids to a school, not just a school, a good school. Mm. Plus you have to have them on medical aid. Plus you have to buy them uniforms and books and all kinds of things so that they're all
cricket
like
bats
with the other kids on the same level.
Plus you have to feed them at least 3 times a day.
And healthy food. Jesus. Not the crap that we used to eat. My parents used to eat just like whatever my mom had around.
Peanut butter and jam.
So much peanut butter.
I know, I hate that shit right
so
now.
So much.
I promise you, I do.
Yeah, it did. It was like staple food. Bread and tea was...
There we go. That was what you had.
You came home from school, you made your own tea, sandwich with butter and jam. You're good to go. Now
I hate butter, jam, peanut butter. Don't bring it here. Like, I can't stand
what
it anymore.
Sad existence.
What is a sad existence?
Growing up on that... Oh, man. No.
You could go play in the streets.
Yeah.
And we used to.
And there were like lots of other kids. Mm. So where we live, I think there's 3 kids in the whole complex.
Yeah.
He's not going to go out and play with those 3 kids every day.
No, I was with my cousins this weekend and we're sitting in the house. They're in their teens, early teens.
Okay.
They're all on their iPhones. Yeah. iPhones. And I said to them, how old are you guys? One says I'm 12. The other says I'm 13 and 13.
And they're on those phones the whole time.
Yeah.
And I was like, plus, you know, and there's a parent there that's buying that iPhone.
Oh, dude.
Children are...
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to cast any aspersions on parents. It's a hard business being a parent now. Woo. And then after school, you still have to pay for the varsity.
Mm.
You still, most kids still stay with their parents now until they're almost in their 30s. You know how it goes. It's a different world. And I don't know whether this is going to result in better or worse things. I'm eternally the optimist. Like, I do believe, you know, things are great and technology is developing at an alarming rate and we should embrace all of the changes that are happening around us because it's good for us generally as a species. People are, by and large, living much better than any generation before them. And all of that stuff's true. But I'm wondering, you know, that a lot of the things that made civilization what it is now came through hardship.
Mm.
And I'm wondering, like, a generation of kids, and I include even some people from my generation, you know, you kind of look at them and they don't really have a lot of ambition. They just want to kind of live at the pace they're living now. They don't want a whole lot more.
Mm.
There's nothing burning at the back like poverty that's keeping them from just being what they
are. That's driving their ambition.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're born poor or you've gone through stages in your life where you didn't have any money and your parents didn't have any money and you struggled a little bit, if you don't have that, then there's nothing. There's no fire behind you for you to keep moving forward from. And I wonder... I hear parents that are really they live like their kids have just everything they could possibly want. They don't have to worry about a warm place to sleep at night or a meal three times a day or, you know, video games or any of the things that they need to entertain themselves or keep them busy. Sure, it's hard. And those little minds are working 24/7 to try and find something new to do. And if you don't feed them with something, and they don't have some kind of productive task to take part in, then they'll become very badly behaved very quickly. Am I right? Yeah.
It's true.
Idle hands are the devil's work, right?
Yeah, but also what's a childhood without just getting into some mess? Yeah. You need to learn yourself that actually I shouldn't be playing with fire. You need to learn yourself that there's this thing called gravity. You need to.
Yeah.
But that's if you're playing outside and doing, you know, like partaking in activities. If you're on your iPhone the whole time, what are you going to gain from that?
Hey, did you successfully complete your move?
Dude, you know what I did yesterday? I was so pissed off. Flipping hell. I come here, I get here first. So I open up. And my office keys and my house keys are all in the same bunch.
Yeah.
I left here yesterday, drove all the way to my old place to complete the move.
Ugh.
And I get to the gate and I look for the keys and they're not there. So I had to drive
here.
Yeah, I left them here.
Idiot.
Had to drive all the way back here and I said, I'm not finishing this thing today. I'm going home, going to sleep.
Yonda says, morning guys, I can relate to the topic of growing your own food. I was born in the Eastern Cape just outside Butterworth in a place called Nkamakwe. I grew up being a subsistence farmer and all vegetables we ate were grown in the garden. We also grazed cattle and sheep, live chicken and geese from the age of 5.
Wow.
I even had my own little plot and grew the best spinach and sold a bunch for like R2.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It is, huh?
Full organic.
Yeah, there we go, Yonda. I bet you that taught you a whole lot.
Yonda looks nice and strong.
And look, Yonda also, look how proud he is of it even now. And he's like a grown man because if you can do that at 5 or 6 years old,
you can do anything.
It's like a sense of accomplishment. There was this kid in our complex now who's selling lemonade. I felt really bad. I didn't have any cash money to go and buy a lemonade from him. But he was sitting there with his little table. I mean, it's quiet. I don't know how many.
Yeah, that's very.
It must have been very little custom during the day. And I felt bad because I didn't have any cash on me, so I couldn't exactly go and buy anything from him. And he was sitting there probably the whole day. I don't know if he sold more than 3 or 4 lemonades, but it's good for him. You know,
it's ambition.
At least he's out there trying.
Entrepreneur.
It's how it begins.
Also, it's out there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No shame.
If I was a better person, I would have gone out and drawn some money and come back and bought one of the damn.
Do you have no coins in your house?
I have none.
Not even in the car.
I've realized I'm that person as well.
I don't keep any cash.
I think we've all become that person.
I was stuck in a shopping complex over the weekend because I didn't have coins to pay for parking. And I didn't want to swipe my card just for a measly like 7 rand in the machine.
Doesn't it have like a...
I don't have one of those one of those apps. So I fished through my car, I fished through my wallet, not a silver coin at all. Yeah. I ended up having to go and withdraw cash.
Yeah, I felt it's pretty so stupid crazy. Too. It's just, you should have some cash on you, you know? It's kind of dumb. All right, let's take a listen to some voice notes, and then we've got to get to the five things you need to know today. But first...
Morning, guys. So I picked up my eldest daughter from a friend's house the other day, and I phoned her beforehand, her and the boyfriend, and she says that they were sitting in the cinema. Anyway, I picked her up. This friend is very well off, or the folks are very well off, but she told me that it's actually she could feel the sadness in the house. It doesn't feel like a home, so she feels sorry for him. And I think that's the other thing, you know, she says our house is much, much better, and we sort of middle class, we know where, in terms of being rich or whatnot. But that interaction you have with your children as they grow up is very important for them, and they just have to experience the opposite once for them to realize what's, you know, sort of... better for them.
Important.
And it made me feel very good about where we are and that sort of thing. So to hear that from your child's mouth there's no money that can buy that. Anyway, I thought I'd share that.
Well done, Sean.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Because that is the other thing, right? Is you spend all of your time chasing the work, chasing the money to do all of these things. The big house, the big cars. And so you don't have a lot of like personal interaction with people. It's hectic. Yeah, there's so many things to balance when you're raising children. It's ridiculously hectic.
We'll learn from you, Pumi. We'll take notes.
If I can't be a good example, can I be a terrible warning of how bad it
yes.
can all go?
of a don't do this example. Case in point.
All right. Do you want to do the five things?
Let's go into the five things.
Okay. Let's start off with a story from ENCA this morning. South African citizens are paying more for private health care than ever before. The Competition Commission released its final findings and recommendations of the healthcare market inquiry. Found South Africans are paying more for private health care than ever. Rising costs, overutilization of private health services, and monopolization by three groups make private healthcare unaffordable for most. Shafruddin Ahmad, who is the medical law consultant that they used, says many people don't understand their medical aid plans. South Africans have deliberately and definitely been paying more than they should. These findings articulate just who the culprits are. One of the reasons why the cost of healthcare has spiraled out of control is because the regulators have not stepped in to ensure that the service providers are taken to task on this. Private healthcare market is also characterized by highly concentrated funders and uninformed consumers. The inquiry was initiated in 2013 following concerns that very few South Africans could afford private health care and that prices were rising above inflation. Preliminary findings established that existing service providers were anti-competitive. Hmm. Well, that's as may be, but given the choice between that and having to go to government hospitals, I think people would be happy to carry on paying more than they should.
Yeah, it's that, and also we discussed this briefly in one of our previous campaigns with Coronation, but to look at exactly what you're paying for, and I think a lot of us are forking out extra money, but we're forking out on things that we don't need or things that are duplicated or things that we could actually cut back on. I now see a lot of people in my circles who are cutting down their traditional medical aid and rather going for a hospital plan because they say, well, I don't really go and visit my GP all that often. I don't really get sick. If I am sick, it's just the flu and I can get some over-the-counter medication. So I really just need an emergency medical hospital plan as opposed to a medical aid. And I'll be honest, I'm one of those people who I know just gets deducted every month. I don't really know what I'm paying for explicitly. You know, I'm sure there are some things that are just bundled up in there that I don't have to pay for. So I think a lot of people are in that sort of situation.
Well, it's worth checking out your medical aid on that basis, but I'm not surprised that this story has made the news in the year that the government are trying to tender this idea of the NHI, which absolutely, completely, definitely would be a much worse thing for all concerned. If you have any idea of whether it would be better for the government or for you yourself to run your own payments and your own contributions and decide on what you want and what you don't want, it seems obvious to me that it should be you. I don't believe government, especially a government like ours that's proven it can't run anything properly, should be in charge of anyone's healthcare. You disagree, Pums?
How?
No, you just gone quiet and you were smiling at me, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, smiling, it was a bit awkward. Because it's okay, that. Guys. It's okay, because your president's got a newsletter. What's your problem?
Oh, yes, he launched a newsletter yesterday. Oh, and you, okay.
What's your problem?
I'm not going to criticize, but I'm going to critically analyze.
Yeah.
Kudos to our president and his team on being so mindful about everything. But you can tell a lot of people worked on, you know, the newsletter and the image, because you can tell that people are like, okay, now, Mr. President, just lean forward on the desk. Yes. Put your elbow up. Okay. Actually, Mr. President, wear glasses. No. Really? Glasses are more welcome. Have you ever seen our president wearing glasses? Uh-uh. No. So I'm sure someone said, like, if you wear glasses, you look more, you know, professional. Ugh. And they're like, okay, hold the pen now. And now, yes, look towards the camera and the paper. This is your newsletter.
Wow. Okay, well, good luck to him. Gauteng's housing department says it's making progress in addressing the backlog in the province, but it still faces several challenges. The department announced early this month that they'd resuscitated the urban renewal plan. This is for areas including Alexandra, Winterveld, Bekkersdal and Kliptown. Human Settlements MEC Lebogang Maile said that now that the process has been restarted, it should be planned better. The most important thing is we're not just going to be building houses without a plan. So yes, good for you, Lebogang Maile. Rugby World Cup organizers have warned about fake tickets in Japan.
So look at us bringing up some sport again.
Exactly. Who said we didn't cover the Rugby World Cup? Organizers are warning fans to beware of buying tickets on anything except official sites after hundreds are believed to have been turned away at stadium gates because they held bogus tickets. Imagine flying all the way to Japan to watch rugby. First of all, that would be insane. And then you get there and you think you've got tickets for the match and you don't. So, unfortunately, they say, it has come to our attention that fans at several venues for the World Cup have been unable to gain admittance due to holding illegally resold tickets, organizers said in a statement on their website.
So they're not fake, they're illegally resold.
No, they're fake tickets. They're like, promising you've got a seat where there isn't a seat.
Ah.
So it's just too bad, I suppose.
They're not sold through official sites. So somebody's like, I've got tickets. And because you're buying it from somebody and not an official outlet,
Fong Kong.
Illegal resale.
The city of Cape Town's traffic officials have arrested over 240 people for various traffic violations in just the last week. At least 119 vehicles were impounded, 116 cell phones confiscated, and over 43,000 fines issued.
That's the email we got.
Yeah, okay, well, let's look at this, because do you remember we had a story about that that situation where there was taxi violence in Milnerton?
Yeah.
We spoke about it, that garage. Well, I'm always amazed, but our listeners know everything, and they're all over the place, and Gerrit is actually the owner of that garage.
What are the chances?
So he sent us an email. Said, on Friday in the news, you talked about taxi violence in the Milnerton area and about how traffic officials were assaulted at a garage in Kuburg Road in Milnerton. I'm the owner of that garage, so let me give you some insight. In the last week, traffic officials have been confiscating taxis driving without permits. On Thursday, while they were checking the permits and outstanding warrants of the taxis in the area, some taxi drivers turned violent and started assaulting the officers. Two officers fled to my garage, parked their car, and ran into the shop. The taxi drivers followed them, damaged their car, and tried to kick the door down to my shop. Luckily, the police were here really quickly, and they arrested the drivers and confiscated the five taxis involved. The situation is still crazy, with daily riots, the burning of tires, and this morning, the burning of a Golden Arrow bus. Mm. Hopefully this coming week will be calmer, as it's really devastating to my business. Sure.
Yeah.
So you see, there's a rule for everybody, and then there's a different rule for taxi drivers. And if you don't apply the different rule for them, if you try to treat them like everyone else on the road who's driving without a license or an unroadworthy vehicle or anything else, then they just get violent. So what do people do? Well, they leave the taxi drivers alone. And remember, we've paid for a lot of these taxis. By we, I mean the government, by using our money, taxpayers' money. We've bought a lot of those Quantums you see on the road. They actually belong to all of us. They called it the Taxi Recapitalization Project. Do you remember?
When was this?
A couple of years ago.
It's about 5 years, 6 years ago.
A little longer.
Most of those taxis don't even... They got them for free because the government realized, like, this is the... These unroadworthy old high aces are causing the deaths of thousands of people.
They still are.
They still are. So let's buy new taxis. So what did they do? They just said, we'll buy you new taxis. Hmm. The taxi bosses said, nah. Of course, wouldn't you?
Now you're speaking my language.
Free vehicles. And now the taxi drivers have realized that they are pretty much like a, you know, like a gang. They can do whatever they want.
Sure. Then how do officers run away? I mean, aren't you armed?
What are you going to do? Shoot at a taxi driver?
Defend yourself.
What are you going to do? If you've got five taxi drivers after you
They're probably armed as well.
Yeah, of course they are.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You're going to fight with those guys and get shot?
Yeah.
You're going to run and hide like these guys did. But what else are you going to do? So the Western Cape is cracking down. Apparently in Nyanga, authorities arrested 37 taxi drivers for 143 outstanding warrants to the value of 300,000. I mean, if that doesn't tell you that taxi drivers are a law unto themselves,
yeah,
I don't know what does. And the City of Cape Town's Traffic Services, Maxine Besaidnout, said, in the latest arrests yesterday, officers arrested a 61-year-old Khayelitsha woman for 271 outstanding warrants.
You see, this
one woman.
I don't have sympathy for middle-aged and elderly people anymore. Just because you're middle-aged or old doesn't mean you're so innocent and sweet. 61 years old.
271 warrants.
Almost 300.
And I'm telling you, if we used, and I'm sure like the JMPD and Metro Police use a lot of characterization and just blatant stereotypes, you know, at roadblocks, and they stop people and they go,
profiling.
Yeah, you're just, just a middle-aged lady. No, you can carry on. I'm sure we don't need to search
you. They always stop the middle-aged ladies. Especially the ones in the Mercedes and the BMs.
61 years old.
They're always speeding.
What do you do to a 61? No, the law must just take its course then.
200 outstanding warrants, guys.
She owes like...
I wonder how long it took her to rack up that 200. No ways.
Possibly.
But it's impossible that... For all the time that she's been driving, she hasn't been stopped before. Also, when you go and renew your car's license,
you gotta pay.
You have to. You know what I'm saying? So there's a very short time period where she has racked up this 200.
Are you saying that this could?
She must be horrible.
Wait
driver.
A minute. Are you saying that this could possibly be?
Yeah.
In less than 5 years.
Easily.
Easy. Because when you go and renew
your car's license,
it's linked to your driver's license, and therefore that's when they get you to pay up all of these things.
Hey, this woman, what is she doing on the road?
Yep, how's that, huh?
That is not normal.
All right.
Wow.
So those are the main stories in the news today. But how do you like them apples? We've been talking about how we all think that it's probably not acceptable that taxi drivers get away with what they get away with. So in the Western Cape, they're just not tolerating it anymore. Good for them.
Them apples.
Yeah, has anyone been keeping up on the demerit system since now it's in action? Sure. I haven't at all, so...
I'm probably already in contravention in some way. I don't know. I go onto that pay fine site every couple of months and just check whether I've got outstanding fines.
Mm-hmm.
You put in your ID number or your license plate... And then they tell you if you've got outstanding fines. I usually have like a 200 Rand here or then I just pay them, get them out of the way, because I don't, the stress of having to worry every time you see blue lights, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I saw them off William Nicol on the on-ramp onto the freeway. They had a bus there, Gareth.
They had a bus.
A whole bus. Mm. Yeah.
Sure.
Meant business.
Mm.
You don't want to be there.
Hey, bo.
This is also why I'm, and I mean, I feel sorry for guys like Gerrit, whose business is caught in the crossfire between the police trying to apply the law and taxi drivers who just don't care about the law. Because obviously for him, you know, now his shop gets destroyed and people are taking out like lead piping on each other in the forecourt. It's not exactly fun, you know?
You know, when I read Gerrit's email, I thought about, you know, the terms and conditions of your insurance?
Yeah.
Where they don't cover you for like riots and acts of God and stuff like that. If you think the terms and conditions on your medical aid is something else.
Now check your insurance.
Your insurance. And this is what I was thinking about. Like, these guys have kicked in the doors, Who pays for that? Because your insurance is going to be like, oh, it was a riot.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I haven't really paid that much thought to it, but it sucks to be caught in the middle of that. You know, it's one thing to see these riots going on, and I find myself giggling, and I know it's horrible to giggle at something like this, but there were riots happening in Cape Town in the midst of crossfires. Like, I can't remember what this place was called in Cape Town, but the police were there and they were shooting rubber bullets, but there were people committed to looting a butchery. And they were going in there like groups and groups of people. They'd just come up with like slabs of meat strapped over their shoulders. There were even three people who went into this butchery to make sure that they left with a full-on fridge. And I'm like, hello, are you not scared that you'll get hit and then maybe like something horrible will happen? But they did. They like trudged along together, holding onto this fridge, and ran away. And you really do think, what about that impact? That's horrible.
You know, to be quoted in that kind of crazy thing. I went to Mamelodi a couple of weeks ago, and as I'm driving into that main road that goes into Mamelodi, there's quite a big taxi rank and a mall, and there's construction on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And there were just guys running, and I looked up and stopped at the traffic lights, and there were guys running towards me, and I was like, what's going on here? And you just hear shouting.
Oh, no.
You gotta think quick. You gotta act fast in that situation. And two guys with their guns out were running down
these
towards.
These are civilians.
I'm in my car.
You've got eyes. Like,
how do I know if they're civilians?
Uniform, not uniform.
Dude.
You don't know. You don't know anymore.
And a mob running after these guys.
Okay.
Yeah, I just put my car in drive. And just put foot. I was just like driving. I'm not waiting to find out what's going down.
Nope.
Who's chasing what?
I'm sure there can be a news alert on that. Can find out on Twitter tonight when I'm at home. Locked up with the blinds shut.
But the people I was in the car with were like, where are you driving to? Why aren't you turning around and going back? I'm like, no. Why would you go back? If you go back, you're driving in the direction of where the people are running.
Yes.
But if you, they're like, but what if there's a riot and you're driving into this township and then you can't drive out? I'm like, yeah, you'd rather be on the other side.
Mabali always used to say that if she was walking in a mall and people started running.
She ran.
She says, you don't know why, you just fucking run.
You run there and you ask questions later.
Yeah.
No, guys. What? No. You must keep your wits about you. You must keep your wits about you and you must drive away. Mm. Not in the direction that the people are running.
The opposite direction.
Because you don't know what they're running off. You don't even know who they are as they are running.
Yeah, yes. Sometimes that herd mentality means really, really obvious death for everyone. No, seriously.
And don't rush to be the hero as well. No. Don't try to stop and find out what's going on and intervene and maybe you can... Mm-mm.
So here's an interesting update. We were just talking about the NHI and Gugs Mhlongo said that the Citizen reports, this is on Twitter, the Citizen reports that the pilot phase for the NHI has been a shambles. Apparently it's cost 4 billion rand, this just this pilot phase, and it was characterized by no medication, long queues, and chaotic filing, among other things. So there's just complete disaster on the way on that front, and I don't know how government can continue to think that this is a good idea. Good luck to them, really.
Maybe you'll read about it in the newsletter.
Yeah, you probably will. Cyril's newsletter. I was wondering if we should tell him he should put a podcast together. We'll help him produce it.
Hey, you know, let's... the president... Here's the photo, by the way.
Yeah, no, I saw someone sent it to me last night.
Okay.
Are you going to listen to the president's...
there was another president that used to write
yes, Thabo. Newsletters. Thabo Mbeki, and people used to ignore his as well.
Oh, guys.
They did.
Who knows?
They were long and dreary and academic.
There could be such gems in there. There could be another I'm an African that no one has read.
There was AIDS denial and trying to not shoulder the blame for Zimbabwe and all kinds of other things.
You know what? I'm going to sign up to the president's newsletter.
All right, Sia. You go and be a good citizen.
And you can report back to us periodically about what is shocking the president this year.
Yeah.
He can tell us what's shocking the president this week.
Yes, good idea.
No, I saw someone else saying, well, the president has moved from being shocked to now apologizing. Because that's what he's been doing a lot of now these days.
Yeah, it seems that's what his day is made up of now, is apologies.
Mm.
Sure, it's hard to be the president.
Oh, our president has Instagram.
Yes.
Hmm.
Okay. I wasn't following him.
You do that too?
Oh, yes.
Sure.
Me. Oh, if well he's done. Citizen number one, I'm
is
at least
still taking
citizen
those walks?
Number seven.
Is he still taking those walks?
Only when the photographers are around.
Only follows one person, follows the ANC.
Oh, well, obviously. That tells you the whole story.
This is a very well-curated Instagram, as the cool kids would say.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay, I'll follow. Right. 17,000 followers.
You're 17,000? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's quite a lot for a politician. Considering how boring they are on Instagram.
Yo, what a long newsletter.
Did you see, speaking of how boring they are on Instagram, did you see Colin Maile's new snap?
No.
Dude, I think they're going to have to find a new nickname for him. They can't call him Oros anymore. I think he's been banting. His summer body has snapped.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Okay, Colin Maile. There we go. Just by the way, Sia, you're meeting Meghan Markle tomorrow. Are you going to mention that you are one of the few people who follows her sister?
Oh, shit. No, we can't mention that.
Can't mention her sister.
Yeah, you know they don't like each other.
So what are you going to say if she asks? Oh, hi, see, I saw you follow my sister, the wicked Samantha Markle.
Mm-mm, not me, Miss Megan, not me at all. So I've thought about it. I've crafted the entire conversation in my head already. I'm going to go over the British Vogue that she guest edited tonight.
Okay. And you're going to find something that's unique and interesting about it and say,
that's it.
I love that thing in the British Vogue that you, yeah, that's a good,
there we go. That gets me in. And Gareth, we need to talk about strategy, you and I, when we're there.
I'm not strategizing.
You can't leave me in the lurch.
Not in cahoots.
I don't have a plan, Sia. I really don't.
Gareth, this is the plan. I think taking a posed picture is overrated. So if I'm speaking to her, let's just make sure that I, you know, like you take a photo of me.
You want to take a picture in situ as I'm talking.
All right. So that looks like we are best buddies in the moment.
Okay, and then you can put that on as your profile picture on everything.
Instagram hashtag.
They are not ready for me. I hope everyone is on Duchess watch right now, because while Prince Harry is all over the rest of Africa doing some official business, her official tour kicks off today in Johannesburg. But yesterday, she was spotted in Victoria Yards in Maboneng, So she was just shopping.
She went to go collect her. She went to go collect her Tsepo jeans.
Yes. So there was an artist who works at Victoria Yards. His name is James Delany. And he was just informed by the people around him that they were told in the morning to expect a very important guest later in the day and that the complex would be shut down from 1 p.m. And so he didn't know what was going on. He didn't even guess it would be the Duchess Meghan, but the Duchess arrived at around 2 p.m. and she walked around admiring the art and admiring the different design works as well. And only the tenants and those working on the grounds were actually allowed to stay on the premises the whole entire time. And James says that the Duchess was polite and friendly and informal. He says that they had a friendly chat and she actually introduced herself, first name basis, no title. She said, "Hi, I'm Meghan."
Oh, you like that, huh? See, it's amazing what makes you happy.
Look at him.
So happy.
Look at him.
I feel like no one else cares about this.
All right.
But I do. Yes. So Meghan also got, as you were saying, this woman, she got a pair of Tsepo jeans. This is a local designer. And he was sworn to secrecy on commenting on his meeting with the Duchess, but he did tweet saying that it was already weeks in the making, that he was asked to make a special order for the Duchess, and that's all he's saying.
Someone says,
no, he said he also made dungarees for Archie.
Okay, that's also cute.
Sandile says she was better as a paralegal in suits. Cool.
Okay, here's some like different royal news as well, just quickly.
Oh boy.
This is now...
He's obsessed, told you.
So the Duchess has actually onboarded a celebrity crisis management company a couple of months ago, ahead of her trip to South Africa, because they really do look all the time and analyze the brand and how people are taking to her and Harry. So she onboarded a crisis management company called Sunshine Sachs that's based in Los Angeles because her approval, you know, like what people think of her was dwindling slowly.
Oh, boy.
And so this is what this firm has put together ahead of their South African trip. So they ended up saying, you know what, you have a lot of issues right now, the likes of that whole private jet travel saga and the fact that she spent $4 million on home renovation. So Meghan, our advice to you is you need to be one with the people. So this law firm is the one who actually orchestrated the likes of the mosque visit to ensure that Meghan sits on the floor as opposed to royal protocol of just, you know, shaking hands and leaving. They orchestrated the hugging of the kids on the street, and they also orchestrated Meghan to rewear some of her old clothes
and sign a yellow ribbon for
that it seems like, okay, yeah, she's not spending money. And they also told her, random point, to leave her engagement ring at home because it's worth $140,000. So they don't want her to be flashing that in the middle of saying we care for the poor.
Mm. Isn't it fascinating?
Because you know the poor will take
you know how it goes over here. Doesn't matter who you are.
Oh, I think this is all fascinating. So fine, I won't inundate you.
Royal news.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's enough for this morning, Sia. You're very excitable.
Do we call her the Duchess?
No, you just say Your Royal Highness the first time, and after that, ma'am. If you want to be formal, if she says, you can call me Meghan, then you can call her Meghan.
No, but I still feel like people say that, but they don't mean it. Yeah. I'll just say, hey, girl!
Oh, please don't do that. Oh, boy. Pumi, I'm going to need you on this one.
Girl, you made
leave
it.
Leave me out of this. Leave me out of this.
I've decided I'm taking Pumi with
from
me.
From Crenshaw, the hood of California, you are now living in a castle. Girl, you done made it.
Oh, boy. Please, Sia. Please. All right. Almost. Have you met her father? It's almost 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com. Mm-hmm. CliffCentral.com.